I will never forget the day when I, during my junior year of high school, when I got called into the principal's office. Anybody ever been there before? Junior year of high school, called in the principal's office, and you can imagine, like, I was freaking out, you know? So here's the thing. It was actually the assistant principal, and the assistant principal's job was to kind of be the discipline man. And so here I was, come on to my office. I want to speak with you. And so my mind, as you can imagine, it was racing just like yours would be. And it was one of those things where I came to his office. I knocked on the door thinking, oh my goodness, right? And, I cautiously walked in, and thankfully he had a smile on his face. So I was like, okay, I'm good. And we kind of talked really quickly. I shook his hand, and I sat down across this man named Brooke Whitmire, who was the assistant principal. But he's a guy who I barely knew at the moment, but little did I know how much he was going to impact my life. It was one of those things. We started talking for a minute, and I quickly realized I wasn't in trouble. We're good. He said to me something like this. He said, Andy, I wanted to meet with you because I see something in you. Isn't that cool? I want to meet with you because I see something in you. I've watched your faith. He was a coach in a few sports, but never one of my coaches. He said, I've watched you kind of from afar. I've seen your faith. I've watched kind of how you carry yourself and the way you seem to influence people around you. And I was like, wow, awesome. I didn't even know, you know, and it was one of those things he told me. He said, I just wanted to be there for you. I wanted to help encourage you. I want to pray for you. And I also want to just be there for you as a fellow brother in Christ. It's like, that is awesome. Principal in high school, taking time out of his normal schedule, and I get to miss a little bit of class for him to tell me that, right? And that meeting started the journey. Brooke Whitmire and I started meeting together about once a month. He would call me, he'd call me into his office, and we would just, kind of catch up in his office, right, about all sorts of things. We talk about life, everything from, advice about girls to, what about my future? We talk about my faith and kind of how we live out faith. And it was one of those things where he would ask me, he would basically do it by asking me questions. And they weren't probing. They were just like, it's basically just finding people interesting. He just kind of took, saw something in me and was like, you know what? He started asking questions like this. What's going right? What's going really well right now in your life? What's going really well? What are you struggling with right now? And I was like, I'd share with him stuff, and he'd ask me how's your soul? How's your walk with Jesus? And then we'd talk about spiritual disciplines. He's like, where are you? What are you reading right now in the Scripture? And we're like, I'm not reading anything right now. And he would say, hey, what if you read this? I'll read it too. And then when we meet back up, we can talk about what Jesus is teaching you. And I was like, it was awesome. This 40-something-year-old guy, it seemed really, really ordinary probably to him on the surface. But it's one of those things where, all he would do was ask questions. And then he would usually give me certain advice just by sharing stories from his own life. He shared the good, he shared the bad, and sometimes even the ugly, and said, I went through something like that before, and would tell me the story. And I was like, oh my goodness, it put things in perspective on what I was going through. And at the end of every single time we would meet together, we would always end it the same way in his office, at the principal's office. He would say to me, Andy, let me ask you this before we leave. How can I pray for you right now? How can I pray for you in your life right now? And I would share with him things, and we had already talked. And so right there in the principal's office, we would bow down, and he would be praying, not just lobbing language into the atmosphere, but interceding for this teenage boy that he saw something in. And it was one of those things where his office became his platform to influence my life. I tell you all that because that's what we're talking about today. What I want us to do is kind of zoom out to the bigger picture. Instead of how do we live life differently this year? Who do we want to become? I want us to think bigger picture. And really think about this question is how do I reset my life toward influence? How do I reset my life toward influence? And I want us to think about this question, really. What am I building in my life? What am I building in my life? It's easy to just go from day to day, week to week, job to all my responsibilities at home. But what am I building in my life? And the question, the other part of it too, is this. Who am I investing in? Who am I investing in? Most of the time we don't realize the incredible capacity and ability that we have to influence somebody's life. Because there's all these I'm not, I don't have that we usually throw to the table. And we assume that we wait on other people to invest in us and we don't think we have anything, you know, to offer. But oftentimes the opportunity for you to impact somebody's life and even their faith, even if you're newer as a disciple of Jesus, is oftentimes standing right in front of you. But so many times what we do is it's hard to believe that we actually have something to offer in our lives, and so we don't offer it. And so I just want you to imagine this. What could happen if you leverage who you are for the sake of someone coming behind you? Imagine what could happen if you leverage who you are for the sake of someone coming behind you. So there's a story about this in the New Testament, a great story of really it kind of carries throughout the whole New Testament. It's the story of the Apostle Paul and Timothy, this great relationship where Paul invested in Timothy's life. Now, we don't know a lot about Timothy biographically, but we do know that he was a really young man. We don't know how young he was. The scripture just keeps to say over and over, like, he's so young. You know, like, we don't know. But it seems to be a young man, and Timothy had become a follower of Jesus in the early church. And it was one of those things where he became one of Paul's faithful and trusted, really, companions, partners in the gospel. And so Paul saw something in Timothy. And he says it all throughout the scripture, different things where he says, I see this in you. So he saw something in him, and he decided that there's something in you, Timothy, that I want to invest in. I want to spend my time influencing and supporting and training you to become the disciple that I believe you can be. And it's one of those things where we don't know a lot about his life, Timothy, but we do know that Paul kind of became his mentor, his coach, and his friend. And so, just like Paul traveled all across, really, the Mediterranean region, sharing the gospel, planting churches. He was kind of a missionary. He was a missionary. And Timothy was just like that. Timothy would travel a lot of times with Paul, or if he didn't travel with Paul to different churches and to different places, Paul would sometimes go off on his own, and he would leave Timothy behind to say, hey, Timothy, I'm leaving you in charge of this church we just planted as this young boy, right, as this young man. And so Paul, what he would do is he would pour into Timothy, and then he would let him lead. He'd pour into Timothy and then turn him loose to lead. And there was even times, in if you've ever read 1 Corinthians, there was even a time where, okay, he was a little bit over his head and Paul had to send somebody else to come in and help him. But he would pour into his life, let him lead, and then he would pour into his life again and help him to know how he can do it better. And it oftentimes really stretched Timothy's faith beyond what most people thought he could handle. That's why we know he's young, because people said it over and over, like, this dude is, like, how can he do anything? He is so young, you know? But Paul just kept pouring into him. And over time, Timothy, he was helping him to become a greater follower of Jesus and a better disciple maker. In fact, we're going to go through 1st and 2nd, 1st Timothy, which is basically two letters that we have, 1st Timothy and 2nd Timothy. We're going to go through a few little sections of that to kind of see the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. Here's the first one that we see, 1st Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. I want you to check out this. After Paul says, I'm writing this in verse 1, he's addressing this letter, and he says this, verse 2. He says, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that. You notice how he addresses him, to my true son in the faith. I mean, it's one of those things where they weren't biologically related, but there, you see the impact that Paul has had in his life. He invested so much that it was like, I see you as a son. Like, your faith is becoming who it is in a large part because I'm investing in you. In fact, we see throughout a lot of Paul's letters that not only is it Paul that was there that's listed, but oftentimes it's listed at to the church and da-da-da, from Paul and Timothy. So a lot of times they would actually write these letters together. So they spent a lot of time together. He'd pour out his cup, he'd let him lead, and then he'd pour out his cup again. And so this is kind of the relationship they had. But here's the thing. This is where most of us put a stop sign up in our life, where we say, okay, Paul is like a giant in the faith. It's one of those things where, like, how could I do something like that? Here's the thing. Paul, here's what you need to know. Paul had every reason in the world to believe he didn't have anything to offer anybody. Yes, he could help churches and stuff like that, but how could I pour into one person's life and really, really help mentor them? Because just like us, just like you and me, he had every reason to believe he was a cruddy candidate. Like he was no good to pour out his cup to influence someone around him. And so here's the thing I want you to know. Here's a couple things about Paul. The first thing is Paul didn't have enough time. Paul didn't have enough time. I mean, this is like a barrier most of us have. Like, I don't have time to like invest my time in one person. And one of the things that I found helpful is you can't do for everybody. But one of the ways to love one another is to do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. So Paul didn't have time. And so here's the thing. Paul was like so busy. He was going all over. He had a crazy travel schedule, planting churches, investing in those churches. And it was one of those things where his travel schedule would have put all of our travel schedules to shame. You know, he had like all his passports stamped up and everything, right? And it's one of those things where there was always people needing more from Paul. I mean, all these people were always saying, Paul, help me to know what I need to do in my faith. There was always more churches that needed his direction. And so he didn't have time to spare to stop and to invest in his life into some kid, some young boy. But Paul realized that it was such an important investment. It was such an important investment that he didn't have time not to. Because here's what he understood. Paul understood the eternal impact that he can have, not just in Timothy's life, but if he influenced Timothy's life, he could turn him loose and God could work through him and he could make an eternal difference even through Timothy's ministry and his life. See, every single time Timothy led a lot of people to Jesus and every single time somebody was impacted in their faith by Timothy, Paul got to see that his fingerprints, his thumbprints were on even their story and the impact that God was making through their life. So he didn't have time, but that wasn't a thing for Paul. The second thing is Paul had too many problems. He had too many struggles in his life. Like, you know, how in the world can you work through somebody who's a mess like me, you know? And so Paul, one of the things we know about his problems and struggles, a lot of time it was because of his faith. You know, Paul was thrown into prison a lot. He was thrown into a prison a lot for his faith. And so talk about struggles and problems. How can you influence somebody's life when you're sitting in a prison cell? But some of the letters that we have in the New Testament were written while Paul was in prison. And he's saying, let my joy be complete. He talks about how much joy he has in Christ as he's sitting in a dungeon of a prison cell. And so impact, influence. Another thing is at least three times Paul was shipwrecked. You don't want to get on a boat with Paul. You know, he had a lot of problems and struggles. He was beaten with rods and stones for his faith, all sorts of things. And there was this unknown weird thing in his life, kind of a struggle that he dealt with. That we don't really know what it is, but he called it this thorn in my flesh. And it's one of those things where he always had to be praying through that. It was almost like it kept him abiding in God. Like, I need you, God, to help me through this. We don't know what it is. But you see, he had problems and struggles. And it just shows us that when we look at the problems and struggles in our own life, that it means that no problem and no struggle in our life is too big that God can't use us. In fact, oftentimes, your struggles make you the perfect candidate for God, for you to invest and influence someone's life and someone's faith, because other people are probably going through struggles and problems as well. And you can take what you've gleaned and how God has brought you through that, and you can tell them the story of how God was faithful in the middle of it. The other thing, the problem with Paul, is Paul had an imperfect past. I think all of us can say, yep, I don't have a squeaky clean record in my life in every decision. In fact, there were some skeletons in Paul's closet, some big ones. You may not know this, but before Paul was a follower of Jesus, he was known as one of the greatest persecutors in the church. What does that mean? It basically means that he was like the guy that everybody feared. He was the guy that every Christian didn't want to be around. He hated Christians. He hated them. And what better person, I love how God works, what better person to take the one of the greatest, not atheists, but one of the greatest anti-followers, you know, somebody who hates Jesus, to transform his life and to make him one of the most radical, passionate people who is inviting people to follow Jesus. But Paul, he was known before that, the skeletons in his closet, he was on a mission to persecute people who follow Jesus, to have them arrested and oftentimes to have them killed, all because of their faith. In fact, in Acts 7, when Stephen when he is killed, when he's stoned. It's one of those things where Paul was the guy who's standing there, giving the authority, allowing this to happen. And so you see this skeleton in his closet. It's kind of like, how could God use somebody who's like a murderer, basically, like Paul? But it just shows us that your imperfect past makes you even more usable by God, because God uses imperfect people to transform the lives of imperfect people. God wants to use us no matter where we are. And so what I want to do with the rest of our time is I want to share with you, great, 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 reservations, we got it. God wants to use me to influence somebody. I want to talk with you about how do you do this in a very practical way, some really easy steps on how you can invest your life in someone that's coming behind you. And it doesn't have to be somebody, it could be age, could be you're one step ahead of somebody age-wise, could be that you're in just a little bit different life stage, maybe your kids are just a little bit older. Maybe it's one of those things where in your faith, it's somebody that's older than you, but you've been following Jesus for a while and you just want to come alongside somebody and help them in their faith. Here's what the first question that all of us have to ask is this, is who? Who am I supposed to invest in, and how do I know? Here's the first thing I want to tell you today about this. How do we influence somebody's life? The first one is this: be in prayer and look around. Seems simple, but be in prayer and look around. This is how God wants us to figure out who we're supposed to influence and impact, invest our life in. You know, start actively praying that God's going to show you, God will reveal to you who he wants you to invest in. And you're going to start praying, you're going to start looking around, and the Holy Spirit's, it's not going to usually be a voice from heaven. I've never gotten one of those before. If anybody's ever got that, let's talk. I'd love to hear the story. But it's not usually, I want you to invest in Nathan. You know, it's like, oh, okay, God. Usually the way it works is God will bring somebody to your mind. In fact, there may be somebody that's on your mind right now, and it's kind of like, I hadn't talked to them in a while. It may be the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I want you to at least reach out to this person. I want you to invest in them. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes God will start bringing them to mind more and more and more. And one of the things that I found is we don't have to be real funny about this. You don't have to go to somebody and have a formal letter or anything, or go up and ask them, can I be your mentor? You know, can I invest in your life? They'll be like, man, you are weird. No, no, no. You know, one of the things I do all the time, and you can use this, is, and it's true. You can say something like this. You know, you've been on my mind lately, or you've been on my heart lately. I'd love to take you to coffee, or I'd love to grab lunch with you, something like that. And you schedule a time. And that's one of the simplest ways. You just start meeting with somebody. You start listening to them when you're with them. And it's one of those things that as you listen, you can then share stories, just like Brooke Whitmire did, of your life, of things in your faith, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's a way to influence somebody's life. So who are the people that God wants you to invest in? Be in prayer and look around. Here's for the rest of it, we're going to look at, there's a really cool model for how to invest in somebody's life in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He gives us a great model with this and how to influence somebody's life and somebody's faith. I want you to check out what it says for 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says this. Now, he's addressing this letter and he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, there it is again, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now check out verse 3. Here's what it says. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. So what do? We pray for who? You know, we pray about, we be in prayer, look around. After we do that, here's the second thing that we can do to influence somebody's life. The second thing is this: pray for and pray with them. Pray for and pray with them. I mean, this is what Brooke Whitmire did to me right in his office. He would just pray for me. And it was one of those things where Paul, in his life, he says, I constantly pray for you. It's like, I pray for you every day. Like, and I imagine he prayed for his life, his struggles, his victories, for how God was going to use him. He prayed for him. And when we were praying in Brooke Whitmire's office, the power of this is not that you have to offer just yourself and just your advice. When you lift somebody up boldly before the throne of God, all of a sudden God gets involved in their life and in their story, because God changes things when people pray. And so the second thing, you can pray for and pray with the person you're investing in. Here's what it says, verse 4. Here's another thing. He says, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. He says, I long to see you. And so here's the thing that we know about Paul. They spent time together. Here's number three way that you can invest in somebody's life. Show up and pay attention. Show up and pay attention. That kind of sounds like silly, right? It's like, what? How's that going to do anything? Let me tell you. It was clear that Paul like showed up in his life. It was clear that he paid attention. He spent a lot of time with Timothy because he says, hey, I recall your tears. He knew about his life in so many ways. And, you know, showing up is a big part of it. But then paying attention to what's going on in the person's life. One of the things that I love, one of my seminary professors used to tell us, just find people interesting. If you find people interesting, man, the door will open to so many things. Like you find people interesting and you ask about their life, take an interest in what's going on, man, God will start working in a powerful way in that. And so one of the things that I do, I actually mentor a child here at Johns Creek Elementary School. This is actually the third child that I've mentored, and it's been quite a journey. And every single kid has been a little bit different. But basically what I do is I come here, and all I do is I show up and I pay attention. I show up here in the lunchroom, I meet him here, and we go into the multi-purpose room over there, and we just eat lunch together. I don't eat cafeteria lunch. He eats, and I talk. And we just talk about, like, what's going on in his life. Tell me how your day was. Tell me how's your classes. And we just talk about, you know, what's going on at home. And it's one of those things where I was like, man, what you see over time as you invest in somebody is so powerful. In fact, I got this thank you letter from him just this past week, and Mandy was laughing at it, my wife, because it's cute, it's sweet. I mean, he says, thank you for coming and mentoring me and for the last 2 years. But there was one phrase that he said that Mandy was dying laughing about because it's such a simple thing. He said, thanks for showing up. It was like, awesome. You know, I'm glad I'm making an impact. Thanks for showing up. You know, but then I realized, you know, how powerful is that? Because in so many ways, not everybody has somebody who shows up for them. Not everybody has somebody who shows up for them and invests in their life. And so for this kid, it's like, man, thank you that you're there for me. And so here's the second thing we can do is show up and pay attention. Here's the next part, verse 5. Verse 5, it says this. He says, I am reminded, he's talking to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your mother Lois, and in your, grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. So he knew his grandmothers, he knew his parents, but he points something out in Timothy's life. I see something in you. And so here's the fourth way after we show up and pay attention. Fourth way is this. We can recognize and reveal how God is working in their life. You can point out to people, you recognize things in their life, and you can reveal how I see God working in your life. It is so powerful. It's one of those things where Paul just pointed out, just like Brooke Whitmire did to me. Hey, I see this in you. I see this in you. You know, a lot of times people don't realize the gifts that they have or sometimes the ways that God is actually moving in their life. And sometimes when you speak that, you don't make it up. You know, you find something that you see in them. And when you speak that over them, man, it helps so much to people to come alive with their identity. And so that's a powerful phrase. So recognize and reveal how God is working in their life. Here's the last section, verses 6 through 7. He says this, for this reason, it's continuing on, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7, for the Spirit of God gave us, Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And so this isn't like I see something in you. This is like a challenge, right? This is like, because I see something in you, fan it into flame, Timothy. And so here's the fifth thing I want to encourage you to do is this. Encourage them onward to the next level in their faith. Encourage them onward to the next level in their faith. This is one of those things where the challenge part, you help spur them along. Because I see this in you, keep going in your faith. Keep doing what you're doing. Go to the next level in some kind of way. You know, one of my favorite examples of this, one of my favorite verses when I was a teenager was this instruction that Paul gave to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it's one of those things, it's verse 12, but it's one of those things where this is what he's doing. He's fanning into flame. He's encouraging Timothy onward to the next level in his faith. And he says this, because of everything I believe in you, Timothy, verse 12, he said, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. You get that word young again. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And when I was a teenager, this became like a banner, like don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example. Instead of sitting on the sidelines in your faith, waiting to lead, waiting to impact, he said, I want you to set the example. It's spurring him on. Go to the next level in your life and in your faith. And so this is how we can impact people's lives. You pray for and you pray with them. You show up and you pay attention. You recognize things in their life and you reveal how God's working in them. And then you encourage them on to the next level in their faith. You know, when I was a senior in high school, getting ready to graduate, Brooke Whitmire, my mentor, he's actually the voice of the Georgia Bulldogs. He's the one that does the PA announcing. So he influences thousands of people on Saturdays, but little did he know that his greatest influence was happening behind closed doors where almost nobody saw. But he gave me this book called Wild at Heart, and it meant a lot to me because it came from him, the guy who invested in me. And it's a great book, and it's a book that's basically about, it says discovering the secret of a man's soul. How men are created to have a wild heart, a life of adventure. And you turn that adventure into having a wild heart for God and a wild heart for what God wants to do in your life, to be on an adventure with him. And it was a great book and everything, but in it, he wrote this kind of letter to me on the inside cover. Here's what it says. It says, Andy, I am so proud of you and the young man you're becoming. As you will read the author write about, you definitely have what it takes. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep focusing on him. And know that you will always have a friend and a fan in me. Your brother in Christ, Coach Brooke Whitmire, September 30th, 2002. So here's the thing I want to tell you. Just imagine if we were a church. Imagine being a church where everybody was investing in somebody. I mean, what could happen? Imagine being a church where everybody was leveraging who they are for the sake of somebody going behind them. I mean, everybody would be invested in. Everybody would be mentored in their life and in their faith. And so just like Coach Whitmire said to me, I want to say this to you, men and women of God, you have what it takes. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful for the incredible opportunity that we have to invest and to impact people in their life and in their faith. God, I just pray that you would start bringing people to our mind right now. People that maybe is we're one step ahead of in our life, one step ahead in our faith. And God, I just pray that you would empower us to be the mentor, to be the investor that you've called us to be. God, we know that we can look at our life and give all the reasons why we don't have anything to offer. But this is the beauty of following Jesus, that when the Spirit of God is in us, that we don't have to throw away our good and our bad parts of our resume and our story. That God, you want to take even those skeletons in our closet and you want to use those, sharing those stories of how you were working in the middle of that, how you helped us out of things in order to shape people's lives. So God, today I just pray that you would help us to really spend time, to take the time to invest in somebody's life. Could be somebody at home that we start with. Could be somebody that's at work, somebody around us, to spend time to invest in their life and in their faith. But God, I just also know that today that there may be somebody in here who is saying, that's awesome, that's great, but maybe you've never become a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've never decided to step across the line and to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And today, maybe today is the day. And if that's you, the Bible tells that we're saved by grace, which is what God has done for us. And by putting our faith in him, that's saying yes to him. And if you want to do that today, you can just pray with me right in your seat, prayer like this, and God will hear you and save your life. God, thank you so much for the way you came, for the way you want to work in my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for my past, so that God, that doesn't have to be the story that's written, God, today I want to turn from my way of living to your way of living. I pray that you would be the savior of my sins and the leader of my life. Today I turn my life over to you. In Jesus' name.